Well, as we think in terms of something I've been told never to pray for, ever, don't ever pray for this, we're going to see if maybe this might be an exercise in the subject of patience. Bobby's going to hit that clicker one more time. And we wait patiently, like so many times we have to do with the computer. Please wait. Just a few more seconds. Technology issues, again. So try to control the eye rolling, Allison, and the big sighs. Remember that Tom Petty song, "The Waiting is the Hardest Part"? So true. This isn't as bad as traffic. The most disturbing wait of them all. Did you know secondary crashes caused by rubberneckers account for 20% of all traffic incidents? The bottom line, there's nothing good about waiting. Waiting always feels like a complete waste of time. But consider this. Maybe what God is doing while we wait is more important than what we're waiting for. Waiting means I trust that God knows what He's doing. And unlike us, God is never in a hurry. Will you wait? There is an exercise in this life called patience. And as we look at Colossians chapter 1, 21 to 29, I'm thinking there may be some opportunity for us to see what patience might be all about. It takes us from where we don't want to be. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 starts with this idea that we were estranged and a hostile mind. Now, if that doesn't describe me from time to time, I'm not sure what does. Maybe it's you. You feel like you're not quite connected, and everything you were thinking is not the way that it should be thought of. He goes on to say, we were filled with doing evil deeds. We find ourselves farthest from where we should be. So, patience. God's patience takes us from where we don't want to be and presents us as we never could be. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, He is presenting us as reconciled to God, holy, blameless, irreproachable, things that we could never get on our own. My wife is very concerned, even with my accounting degree, that I do not balance the checkbook on a regular basis. Can you understand her concern? She has one that she takes care of for medical reimbursements, and every month, without fail, she makes sure what the bank says is exactly what she has to say. She reconciles just fine in her checking account there. And I realize that in my relationship with God, I can never get my life to add up before Him. And I am so glad in His patient understanding, He reconciles us, places us in a circumstance to be wholly blameless and even above reproach. So God's patience takes us from where we don't want to be, presents us as we never could be, and then he places us on a path like we ought to be. Paul goes on to say that we are securely established and steadfast in the faith. And we Baptists like the sound of that. The idea of security. And we understand that from God's Word, that once God has us in His grip, He never lets go. And I'm so glad we got that thought through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even as Paul shared with this early church at Colossae. We are securely established. We are steadfast in the faith. We are without shifting from the hope that He offers. And that the gospel proclaimed should be to every creature under heaven. St. Francis of Assisi always seemed to get a bad rap because he preached to the birds. But I'm so thankful that Paul reminds us God watches over all creatures of the world, and that his message of restoration includes all that he has created. So our hearts do grieve with Noah this morning. How many of you have lost an animal that is very, very close to you? And then for us to know that God has a plan more than we can see or imagine, that he places us on a path like we ought to be. Patience takes us from where we don't want to be, presents us as we never could be, and places us on a path like we ought to be. Paul goes on and he says, but let me share with you what patient endurance allows us to be a part of. And this is the part where, you know, really, I really could just sort of skip over verse 24. It'd be much better, I think, in my understanding of things. But Paul says, I want you to know you can rejoice in your sufferings. Anybody want to rejoice in their sufferings? That doesn't sound like the greatest thing to be a part of. But Paul says, as we walk through times of suffering, it's not that we're going to be taken from those. It's not that they're going to be missing from our experience just because we allow God to have a part of our lives. It's that He is, in fact, with us in the midst of all things. Patient endurance allows us to rejoice in our sufferings. It also allows us to complete what is lacking for the sake of the church. There are no better examples out of Scripture that I've found other than Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Both of them have this incredible picture about what it means to be a part of the church. And that, you know, we are all parts of it. We're connected. If the eye would say to the ear, I no longer need you, does that make the ear any less a part of the body? The eye can never do what the ear does. I'm now in the hearing aid club of the world. And as yesterday we were at Vacation Bible School, I was out there having a great time, or in here, Eddie, we might want to do an encore of the Fishy Fishy Fish song. What do you think? Yeah, maybe not. We really did some great movements up here. I'm sitting down to have our pigs in a blanket, and I reach up, and there's no hearing aid on my right side. Okay, I've still got the one on the left. It's there. But I have no idea where the hearing aid on the right side went yesterday during Vacation Bible School. Gone. I don't know if it happened when it was outside. I don't know if it happened. I don't know. It's just not there. I do. That's true. Cheryl says she hopes no one ate it yesterday. That's true. Be a little bit chewy, I would think. But, you know, we need our ears, and we need our eyes, and we need our noses, and all those parts of the body. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 have to say. We are all crucial in the body of Christ, but we're not all the same. We would lack something if we were all just a big nose. It'd be a little strange looking. It'd be like me all the time. It wouldn't look exactly right, or it wouldn't function. And Paul says, part of our patient endurance allows completeness to happen, to complete what is lacking for the sake of the church. He goes on to say, it also involves becoming a servant to make the Word of God fully known and to reveal mysteries hidden for ages and generations. We don't have it all figured out. There are many times when Bobby and Thomas have great questions and I give them great answers, but I'm not so sure if they're always right. You know, I speak into whatever they're trying to ask me about. Corian says, I just make it up. Well, that may be true. There may be some of that involved. But as we continue to have our walk with the Lord, as His patient endurance continues to flow through us, there will be things that are revealed tomorrow that we do not know today. There are things that only come into its full picture as we look back and say, oh, that's what that was all about. That's where all that fit together in a way that I really couldn't see at the time. And I'm glad Paul reminds us that it's not just about our current age. He says, for both ages and generations. And that as we remain faithful, it may be a generation after us that even gets a fuller picture than what we have right now. Patient endurance allows us to rejoice, to complete what's lacking, to be connected with each other, to become a servant, to reveal mysteries that have been hidden down through the years, so that we can understand God's patience is made known to us in one of the greatest titles that I see coming out of the book of Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where God's patience is made known. That Christ shows up in your life. And that, in fact, what you do with God's presence is where the next generation and your neighbor and our community will see and have evidence of God's love. The angels were up in heaven one day, and he says, now let me get this right, Jesus. You came down to earth for at least 30-some years. You took some time for 3 of those years where you really poured your life into a group of 12 that you really focused on, but then it said there was about 70 that went out 2 by 2 and shared in your message. There was a handful of people, and they were left to then spread your message to all the world. The angels looked at Jesus and said, so what's your backup plan? Jesus turned to the angels and said, there is no backup plan. That's it. How you have received His message and how we pass it on is, in fact, what will be the thing that changes and transforms this world and all that is to come. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what do we do with that? We are to proclaim Christ. We're to warn, teach, and mature everyone in all wisdom. And this patience that we understand from God, it should fuel us through every toil and struggle by all the energy He powerfully inspires. Paul finishes up that particular thought. He says, What gets me going in the morning is not the latest energy drink. It's not 10 cups of coffee. It's not my 3 cans of Mountain Dew before I hit the floor. What fuels me is the energy I get from God's Spirit. That's what fuels me through every toil and struggle. That's what will fuel Adam as he sits down at the bar exam and he labors over every question for 2 days on end. Or at least that's what my niece has experienced. She's only on her 4th time, Adam. But she's not giving up. She's going back again. But Adam's going to do it on the 1st time, so it'll be just fine. Hopefully we won't have as many toils and struggle. But what should fuel us? It should, in fact, be our connection and to know that the energy cannot come from ourselves, but that we are connected to the one who spoke this world into existence, the one that still calls our name and wants to have a presence in our life. Patience is not an easy road to walk down. And it looks different for different individuals. My lessons in patience are not always necessarily what your lessons in patience have been. But I wanted to show you today an example of what it looked like for one father who had a son born with cerebral palsy, was very limited physically in what could be accomplished. And I wanted us to see and experience what patience looks like, at least for one dad. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Creator God, you created the earth whole and round. You created us to be whole people. But we have become fragmented, cracked, and broken. We've been broken by false promises, lost relationships, shattered trust. We've become cracked with the experience of systematic sin, prejudice, oppression, and fear. We've become fragmented, building up walls instead of lending hands. Forgive us when we have done the breaking. Heal us where we have been hurt. Let your light shine through our cracks and scars so that we might bring light to the world, showing that in you we are made whole. In you we find healing. You take us from where we don't want to be. You present us as we never could be. And you place us on a path like we ought to be. Help us to forgive, to love, to mend. Amen.